What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Wasting Saturday nights with Josh Hadley on What the Fuck is amazing, especially with the cat.
Hello.
Whoa, you're in a happy little uplifting mood.
That's my kind of girlier voice. Normally I'm like, yeah, whatever. Hello, hi everybody.
Are you still floating from the vivacious comment last week?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Charlie rounds out our menage a three.
This is also my feminine voice.
I'd hate to hear your masculine voice.
Yeah.
Why did I just picture you as a bald black guy smacking white cops up in the 70s?
Yeah, you damn right.
I'm just picturing a Larry Cohen blaxploitation movie, Black Caesar indeed. Let's get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You guys both grew up with McGruff the Crime Dog, right? I know I did.
Yeah, sure.
I was once McGruff the Crime Dog in a parade.
You were?
Yeah. I wore the costume and stuff. The fan broke. The eyes fogged up. Couldn't see a goddamn thing.
Isn't it weird what we learn about him, Kat?
You know, everyone's got to have hobbies and stuff.
And stuff, huh?
A lot of the things that I do on a day-to-day basis sometimes involve parades. More often than not, but I'm okay with it.
Did you know he was also the Toxic Avenger once?
Really?
Yeah,
twice.
Really.
I was a Toxic Avenger twice.
Oh, yeah. And Lloyd yelled at him, you do not get to take the mask off, ever.
No, not if there's people around, Jesus Christ. First time I wore the Toxic Avenger costume was at the Esquire Theater in Denver. There was a midnight showing of the Toxic Avenger, followed by a QA. And whenever Lloyd makes a public appearance, like for the sake of people wanting to take pictures and everything, he always has someone with him wearing at least a Toxic Avenger mask. And that was the least that I had, because it was just the mask with my regular clothes, holding a mop that I found in the janitorial closet at the theater. It's weird to see the Toxic Avenger the same height as Lloyd Kaufman. Like, I'm sure that disappoints a lot of people, but, like, after he did the intro and stuff, we went out into the lobby, and I was about to take the mask off. He's like, no, what is this? I'm like, what? He goes, no, you do not take that mask off. Once we leave, once we're outside, then it's okay. And that was very similar to McGruff the Crime Dog, in that it was very hot, and it got slippery in there, and I don't have the smallest head in the world, so it was a difficult sit.
Figuratively or literally, huh?
Right.
An actor by the name of John R. Morales has played McGruff for quite a long time. He's played McGruff for years in Texas in commercials and parades and things like that. He was just convicted. He was busted in 2011, but he was just convicted and it was upheld for the more than 1,000 pot plants and an entire arsenal of weaponry, including a grenade launcher. Does anyone see the irony of McGruff the Crime Dog being a pot farmer with grenade launchers? Am I the only one that's finding this funny?
I don't know where to begin with that. I mean, there are so many contradictory statements in there. I mean, first of all, it's McGruff the Crime Dog, who should not be fucking around like that. I think we can all agree on that. Then the whole bunch of pot plants, which works on the level of dogs are usually used to sniff out pot plants, and he's got 1,000 of them. And also, not only is he growing and presumably smoking marijuana, because few people do one without the other, but he also has grenade launchers, and the concepts of pot and grenade launchers don't go together.
I'm actually just picturing him using the grenade launcher to shoot pot plants at people.
In the McGruff costume. Not Morales in street clothes. It has to be McGruff for the image to work, Kat.
That is some supervillain shit right there. That's right up there with Mexican Hulk, man.
We never did get those Mexican Hulks either. I was actually kind of disappointed. All they found was 2 radioactive corpses. No, what fun is that, right?
All that preparation for nothing.
So I just thought this was funny, because if this was just some guy named John Morales that had 1,000 pot plants and a grenade launcher, eh. But it's the fact that he was McGruff the Crime Dog for years. That makes this what the fuck dumbest thing newsworthy, doesn't it?
Definitely. Yeah.
I mean, I was just McGruff for a day. It was for a parade. I believe it was like a Halloween parade. Because I was only like 15 at the time. I was in high school, and I was it counts as like an extracurricular credit if you do community service. That's what I was doing out there, and they just fucking threw me in that costume.
That actually counts? I've only ever done that court-ordered.
Yeah, it can be voluntary.
All right, fair enough. I guess you learn something every day.
But either way, it gets done. That's the important thing.
Take a bite out of crime.
The system doesn't work.
That's what you're taking away from this, is the system that doesn't work, huh?
Yeah, way to fail us all, America.
Jesus. Now, the next one, this isn't necessarily news. It's not necessarily dumbest thing. I just want to talk about this for a minute. Okay, Ice-T, you know, rapper and, you know, original gangsta and cop killer and all that. And he's on Special Victims Unit as a cop, and he's played a cop in a bunch of movies. He kind of has a side business I was unaware of. He narrates audiobooks, and they just send him the books. Usually it's the first time he's reading the books. They sent him a Dungeons & Dragons book. I'm going to read some quotes here, so you have to picture this in Ice-T's voice, okay?
Okay.
I'm quoting, so this is going to keep getting weirder. Remember, I'm quoting. I'm not making this up. They didn't tell me this was a motherfucking Dungeons & Dragons book. Some of the most crazy, deep, deep nerd shit. Motherfuckers talk like Yoda. They were talking about Pegasuses and Pegasi. That's horses with wings. This motherfucker got a sword that talks to him. Motherfuckers live in places that don't exist and it comes with a map. My God! It'll be a treat to watch me with my South Central educated ass trying to read some Dungeons & Dragons shit. Unquote.
I love Ice-T.
I need this recording so badly.
They didn't say what book it is, but it took him, because of all the lingo and everything, 3.5 hours to record 25 pages because he could not get the Dungeons & Dragons motherfuckers talk like Yoda lingo down.
I really, as soon as we find out what this is, we need to get a copy of it and review it or something, because this just sounds priceless. Of all the things I could think of, you know, I would want Ice-T to narrate, a Dungeons & Dragons book is not among the things I would have pictured.
I would have gone for Vin Diesel for that. He's a Dungeons & Dragons fan. So Ice-T doing it and really not, I don't know, from those quotes, did you get the feeling he doesn't quite get D&D?
You know, in this particular one, it's hard to say because of his language, but it sounds like not only did he not get it, it sounded like kind of like he was offended. In at least one of the articles that I read about this, it sounded like he was offended that he was reading nerd crap.
Deep, deep nerd shit.
Deep, deep nerd shit.
He didn't want to tarnish his image. Like, yo, you telling me that a paladin's going to inflict 18 damage? That's some bullshit. I can't wait to hear it. I don't even have an iPod now, but I would buy one just to have that with me at all times.
And you know what? That could be the real selling point for this, because an average Dungeons & Dragons book is going to sell X number of copies as an audiobook, right?
How many of them are really going to buy them as audiobooks, though, when you think about it? Because he does have a point. It is deep, deep nerd shit, and nerds are collectors. Nerds are going to buy the actual book. They're not going to buy Book on Tape as read by fucking Ice-T.
Except I think Book on Tape as read by fucking Ice-T is the selling point for this one. Once we get the title of it, I will be checking it out.
That's the selling point for, like, non-fans. Like, people that maybe don't know a whole lot about D&D, but just want to listen to this and laugh their balls off.
Do you think somebody just lost a bet and that's why this happened?
I think Ice-T lost a bet with his manager.
Like, seriously.
What do you mean by that, Kat? Do you mean like Ice-T lost a bet, the manager lost a bet, or this was just in the random rotation that he was sent, and it just happened to be something that nerd offended him?
If he was contacted by the publisher, then it was probably just a random happenstance.
I feel like maybe somewhere the publisher was like, they had a bet going on, and then they lost the bet, and then the punishment for the bet was they would have to try and pitch the book to Ice-T, and they just sent it to the Ice-T's manager, and the manager didn't even look at it. Like, I feel like that's what happened here.
Yep, voiceover check, he'll be in and out in an afternoon, let's do this.
You know what, Kat? I think your version is both the funniest and strangely most plausible. And I'm not sure that those two things should go together, but they're not mutually exclusive either, are they?
I mean, this isn't like, you know, like Samuel L. Jackson reading like a lullaby book, like Go the Fuck to Sleep. That's obviously very well paired with him. But something like Dungeons & Dragons with Ice-T, like there doesn't seem to be any logic there. So it's either got to be a mistake or like some kind of irony.
They have lots of Star Wars audiobooks. I wonder what would have happened if he would have gotten Jedi Trilogy Part 17. Because that's got the same goofy, deep, deep nerd shit, the same strange lingo, the same weird names. I wonder if this would have been the same if it were a Star Wars book.
I don't think it would have been the same. I think Star Wars has a little bit more, I don't want to say dignity, but...
acceptability.
There you go.
Yeah, dignity's definitely not the right word.
Yeah, dignity is not the issue. Never will be.
But yeah, it has more mainstream acceptance. So yeah, I just wanted to bring on that one because I thought that was really funny myself.
Okay, what do I get if I win? If you win, I'll get Ice-T to read an audio version of a D&D book.
So let's move on from that to something a little less goofy, but trust me, there's a lot of goof in this. Charlie, I know you smoke.
Yeah.
Kat, do you smoke?
I do not.
Have you ever?
No.
Okay, then you're in my boat, so Charlie will have to be the pro smoker in this. CVS pharmacies have decided that they are going to stop selling tobacco products, cigars, cigarettes, chewing tobacco, the whole deal. Normally, this would be seen as a good thing, right? CVS is, they're trying to promote health, and they're stopping the sale of tobacco products. Does it surprise either of you that Fox News flipped their shit over this?
No.
It does not.
Well, basically, Fox News model Gretchen Carlson lost her shit. And I'm quoting here. For people who smoke, you know, they have a right to buy cigarettes. It's not illegal. Does CVS have the legal right to not sell them cigarettes? Take that in for a moment before either of you responds. Take in what I just said, which is what spokesmodel Gretchen Carlson said.
We're going to have so much fun with this, guys.
Before we get into the meat of this, the clip of her saying this was preceded by something that they still left the super up for a second. Mom Jean's ad pushes Obamacare to younger Americans. I don't know what that story was, but that's funny in and of itself, isn't it? That's the super?
Yeah, I'm not even sure how those words go together.
Mom Jean's ad pushes Obamacare to younger Americans. I actually kind of want to talk about that story, but I don't have that story in front of me. That's just the super that was leaving as we go into this one.
I would just like to see the ad.
Kat, yeah. you being female, Mom Jean's ad, what's your thoughts on that before we go into the real topic?
Actually, my biggest surprise is that somebody at Fox knows what Mom Jean's are.
I always thought that was kind of a insulting term. Is that the actual term for them, Mom Jean's?
It's not really insulting, just kind of a common term. And I don't really, you know, have any feelings on them one way or the other, but it just sort of surprises me that because it's a more recent term from the last couple of years that somebody at Fox cares about a trendy word.
Fair enough. For the cigarettes, before we get into Fox's response, Charlie first, since you're the smoker, what are your thoughts on CVS ceasing sales of tobacco products?
I think that's awesome. I don't think it's going to do any good in the long run, but I support their decision.
I think it's really great. I think it's going to cost them a lot of money in the upwards of billions of dollars, I think.
I actually will argue with that. CVS only made about 1% of sales from tobacco products. So I really don't see this affecting CVS all that much, really.
But it's still billions of dollars. But, they're going to lose some money, but maybe it won't be a lot. I think it's brilliant because I've never understood how you can call yourself a pharmacy and sell something that kills you.
Well, that's what all pharmacies do.
Yeah, I was going to say, prescription drugs. That's kind of an argument for prescription drugs because
if you'd like to, you check out the side effects on a bottle of Chantix.
Let's say you could advertise heroin on TV. I don't think you'd have the fast-talking guy with all the side effects at the end of a heroin ad like you do for Celebrex.
I'm not here to argue that. I'm just saying tobacco has it does no good.
Agreed.
You know, somebody might actually be healed by some medicine, but absolutely nobody benefits from taking cigarettes or tobacco in any way. There are no medical benefits.
No argument at all from me on that. Gretchen Carlson, news model, she decided that this was bad, that CVS was somehow impugning the rights of the cigarette manufacturers by choosing to not stock their product. Keep in mind, tobacco companies, quite big backers financially of the Republican Party, of which Fox News is the media wing. So you can see why there's a little bit of a conflict on a business level. She had three people on her show, and you could tell this was live. She was asking the question about the legality of it, which I quoted before. All three of the female, blonde, white. But, I mean, you guys should see the video. They look like Stepford wives of one another. It's actually kind of creepy. All three of these women smacked her down. They all said this is a good move on CVS's part, and one of them, being a lawyer, said it's absolutely within the law for CVS to decide they don't want to stock a product. Gretchen almost around this, trying to go, how dare you not side with me?
This is Fox News. You come in here with all your logic bullshit.
You with your differing opinions.
How dare, that is not the way we do things around here.
This is Fox News. So that one didn't really go the way Fox News planned. So later in the day, I think they started vetting their guests a little more. So when Neil Cavuto had his guests on, of course, they agreed with him. And one of them, oh my God, I can't believe I have to quote this, actually found a way to make it Obama's fault that CVS was going to cease the sales of tobacco products.
That's the way we do things around here.
Now, that's Fox News.
Way more in the spirit.
I'm quoting here, that CVS was, quote, getting scaredy cat because with the health care law and the changes and everything else, selling tobacco products didn't look good. So it's Obamacare's fault that CVS says, we don't want to do this. And I'm going to keep going. Now, Dana Perino. Oh, God, I love Dana Perino. Dana Perino is almost the blonde Sarah Palin. If you don't know who Dana Perino is, people, Dana Perino is the former spokesman for George Bush. That should say something right there.
Good at ventriloquism, then.
I'm sure she's used to having things up her ass.
But seriously.
I just wonder, is this President Obama now saying that corporations are allowed to have values and express them? Because if that's the case, maybe corporations then don't have to provide contraceptive care to their employees or their health plans, and the Supreme Court justices might want to take a look at that. God. Oh my God!
There is so much wrong with that. So much wrong with that. Okay, so they're basically saying that a company, a pharmacy, deciding not to sell something that kills people is the same thing as employers who don't want to pay for their employees to have birth control. That's what this person is saying. She's saying that these things are the same when they are very clearly not. This is a company deciding to stop stocking a product. This is not an employer limiting the rights of their employees based on their personal religious beliefs.
Also, this is not a mandate from the Obama administration. Do you notice how she specifically twisted this into Obama did it?
I did catch that, yes. So, I don't know. There's no consistency in those two arguments. I mean, you can't get pissed at a pharmacy for no longer wanting to kill people and then insist that your employees do nothing but create people. Thanks, weed.
Logic from on high, indeed. Right, Kat? And you know what? I really wish this were the end of the story. I really do. But Fox has not left this alone. Fox has basically decided this is Obama's fault and it's a bad thing if CVS does not sell cigarettes. I'm a little disgusted by that, because with everything that Fox News has done, how can cigarettes are good for business be the stance you take? Really, even after all the bullshit you've pulled.
This is just this whole paranoid fear that they're going to take away my rights. You can't take away my rights. I have a right to buy cigarettes wherever I want.
I like how you went Southern there.
I live in the Midwest, man. I live in the Midwest. This is like how people talk, you know, 5 minutes from my house. But that's the whole feeling, is that that's what they want you to think. They want you to think that your rights are being violated somewhere along the lines, and it's very, very clearly not. And the argument that it is ludicrous. It's absolutely bonkers.
And I personally think it was hilarious how they, in a way, I'm proud of Fox News. They found a way to make something that Obama had nothing to do with his fault.
Evel Knievel could not make that leap.
Isn't that brilliant, Kat? Isn't that amazing that they were able to do it almost seamlessly?
You know, it takes a certain level of evil to be able to to turn that on its head the way they did, but yet they did it.
I hope they never start making sense. I've come to accept that this is the way the world is now.
On that note, we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're not going to be joking as much. We've got a couple of serious topics to deal with, so.
Holy shit, did I have an exciting week. Folks at home, I am Hart D. Fisher. You are now in the middle of a heart attack. Jesus, Josh, did you see the clip of Alki David on TMZ?
Yeah, I did. I didn't see it when it went out live, but I did see it subsequently.
I had a curveball thrown at me, and I don't know if you guys had heard, but there was supposed to be a fight between DMX and George Zimmerman with Celebrity Boxing, and then the promoter behind Celebrity Boxing got so much hate mail and death threats that he bowed out. And then Alki David came on board, and he says, you know what? I'm now the promoter behind this George Zimmerman fight. We're going to go bare knuckle. We're going Fight Club. And one of the names listed in the contention to fight him was me, Hart D. Fisher. Bare knuckle fight, George Zimmerman. I got fucking excited, huh, Josh?
Yeah, but then it all kind of fell apart, though, didn't it?
Yeah, Trayvon Martin's family, they didn't want the proceeds from the fight. So the fight's off, but boy, I would have loved to have bare-knuckle brawled with George Zimmerman. That would have been fucking fun. Oh, my God. I would have loved that. Damn it. Thank you for even thinking about me, Alki. That made my day.
Just think about it like this, Hart. No matter what the outcome would have been, let's say the fight happened, you would have pissed off everyone in America. Say George Zimmerman... No, think about it. Say George Zimmerman would beat you in the fight. People would go, hey, another blow for racism. All right.
There is no fucking... You could tie one hand around my balls and I could kick that monkey's ass.
This is a hypothetical. Shush. Okay?
There ain't no hypothetical, motherfucker. You'd have to cut off my feet for me to lose to that monkey.
And if you would beat him, then half of the country would go, he was found not guilty by the courts, so... This is just more vigilante kind of a way to look at this. Either way, you no matter what the outcome would have been, it would have pissed off half the country.
I don't even care about that part. I just would have had fun, man. I mean, half the stuff I do is because I'm having a good time, you know, like doing American Horrors. That's a dream job, man. I'm doing that because it's a life. I love horror and I'm having a great time doing it. And same with Heart Attack. I mean, no one's paying me any money to do this. This takes up plenty of my time. It takes up plenty of your time, Josh. But I get a big kick out of it. I really enjoy it. I really like what we've managed to accomplish with the show. And I like having a voice and getting to talk about some of these issues that drive me crazy. Like today, if you haven't heard the hour-long Heart Attack, I urge folks at home to check it out. You can find it at jackaloperadio.com, at 1201beyond.com, or on soundcloud.com. You could find me on Facebook at facebook.com/heartattackradio. We had a really cool guest on the hour-long Heart Attack, John Neese, the owner of Galco's. As he left after recording that, we were talking, and for the folks that might not have heard about it, we had a fatal accident here at the elementary school that's at the end of my block where I live in Highland Park. I've got a school right down the street from me, and we talked at length during the neighborhood council meetings to keep our vehicle lanes on our major thoroughfares. And we flat out said, you're going to drive traffic into the residences, the residential streets, and it has. We said, you're going to cause more collisions, and that's what's happened. In fact, the problem with LA's traffic has gotten so big, they're taking cop cars away from fighting crime and gangs to do traffic because they have an epidemic of hit and runs. And we had an old fella run over five people at Yorkdale Elementary School, right on the corner. One of the problems, and this was stated to me, it sucks. You know, a grandma died. She died in this accident, and it's an accident. It wasn't like, you know, the old man ran down the hill and just blew a stop sign. He accidentally hit his gas pedal while he was stopped and ran these people over, including kids. And so the families of these accident, they're not going to sue the man who ran them over. They're going to sue the Los Angeles school board. And it has to do with the simple fact that one of the reasons that the old grandma died was because of a delay in the response time. Now, we said and we found that by removing these vehicle lanes, I mean, it sounds like common sense, doesn't it, Josh? If you remove the vehicle lanes, you're going to slow down emergency response times.
Yeah, you're just going to be clogging up the system that was already pretty clogged to begin with.
Well, this accident happened in the morning during the rush hour. So guess what? The response time was delayed because of these bicycle lanes and removing vehicle lanes so that the city can make money to the tune of $85,000 a mile. Well, now we got a fatality because of the emergency response time was delayed because of what the city hall people have done. I don't think they should sue the school. They need to sue Jose Huizar. They need to sue the city over what they've done to Highland Park, because they have put all the residents of Highland Park and all the residents of the various cities where they've thrown in these bicycle lanes and taken out car lanes, they've made it more dangerous for all of us.
Do you think that there'll be any kind of fallout from this, or do you think this will be another one of those, the people are just going to forget about it in a week because Justin Bieber will do something that makes the headlines again?
Well, that's exactly what the mass media is trying to do. They're trying to distract us of how our government is screwing us into the ground. They are consistently hyping our taxes without us being aware of it. They say no new taxes, but then they hide the taxes by taxing small businesses or creating a 10-cent tax on plastic bags at the grocery store or some other vehicle tax. Or for me, they've been jumping up my sanitation bills and the taxes on my water and my power. They hide these taxes within their system and they don't actually care. You know, it's Jose Huizar, the city council member here, who's been one of the people really pushing this agenda to remove vehicle lanes and install these bike lanes. And again, the price jumped up to $85,000 a mile, which is absolutely insane. I don't know, man. It's just fuck. I don't know. I get so frustrated with this and I want to scream, get politically active. But I sound like a broken record, you know, and how long we've been doing this show now?
But sometimes, Hart, a broken record is right. It's kind of like what people say, you know, a stopped clock is still right twice a day. And sometimes people will see it. Sometimes people will hear it. Because just think about it like this. Think about it in terms like this. Even if you've turned around one person, two people, three people to get active in their local governance, I know how cliche this sounds, but doesn't that make it worth it?
Yeah, it does. It does. I just get a little frustrated. You know how it is, man. Going to some of these meetings can be real teeth-gritting exercises. The only surprise I had is when I actually went to the police station and went to one of their meetings, and the police actually wanted to hear what you had to say. And I got to meet with three captains in the police department, and they were all really solicitous and interested in what's going on. And we're going to be bringing on to the 1 hour heart attack, we're going to be bringing on some of these police officers to talk. I'm working out the dates of when we're going to do that, but they have they're, like you said, you're the one that said, well, they're the guys that got to clean up the bodies.
Yeah, the police. Now, it would be one thing if the police were saying, no, we think these are a good idea too. Then you'd kind of go, all right, there's something even bigger than what is already pretty big going on. But it's the fact that the police, the fire units, the ambulances, the paramedics are all against this, that says more about the systematic corruption, I think, than anything else, really.
And, you know, these civilian overseers of the police department, the fire department, they're hammering these guys. They are twisting their arms and basically threatening them with losing their jobs if they open their mouths about what's going down. And here we have, you know, we said, and I went to these neighborhood meetings and I said, look, you guys are endangering the residents. I went to the Eagle Rock Council meeting. I had this asshole, Mr. Green, mock me. I had the sock puppet paid for political activists on their little bikey poos and their little costumes. And they're all dressed up like they're hippies in a Billy Jack movie. And they all just jeered at me when I said, look, you're going to delay emergency response times and people are going to die. And now we find out that, hey, maybe the grandmother at this accident at Yorkdale, maybe she'd be alive today if the emergency vehicle could have gotten there faster. But they were delayed by the city's policies and someone has died. They have died. And you sons of bitches were all mocking me, and they were just telling, oh, you're just trying to scare people, Hart. No, I've actually had an emergency in my home growing up. My brother burnt his hand making French fries, and I had to have the ambulance come. My brother had third-degree burns, and it was important to get him there. I've had emergency. My house has been on fire. I've had my house robbed. You know, I understand that you depend on these things and seconds count. And it's not about, oh, he's just a fear monger. No, these are fucking realities, you fucking retards. So these guys who are trying to that are being paid, they make me sick. They make me absolutely sick when they mock you over emergency response times. And when a cop car can't get through traffic and they're trying to drive like a bat out of hell to a shooting or an emergency or a fire, the city, shit, man, the drivers are in danger from that. The cops are in danger. The drivers are in danger. It's a bad, bad policy. And we need to rise up and talk. Like, I'm seeing it on Facebook. I'm seeing more and more people are starting to say, hey, this is a bad deal. Hey, why don't we spend our money on something more important, something that can help the community more? Like, I don't know, maybe a crossing guard at Yorkdale Elementary. How about that? Maybe that might be nice to pay for that.
Or it's maybe, just maybe, putting in an emergency vehicle lane. So that's maybe there only for paramedics, fire, and police units. Maybe I'm a stupid hippie with that, huh?
Yeah, for real. How about we invest in our infrastructure? How about we take that money and fix the potholes? How about we take that? And what I love about these politicians, they'll say, oh, well, by law, this money's been mandated for such and such. Well, what I know about politicians, if anybody knows how to steal money from one account to spend it on something else, it's a politician. Well, folks, we've come to the end of another heart attack. I just wanted to thank Josh for giving me this opportunity to speak every week with you guys and also tune into the 1 hour heart attack. We're really dialing it in. I think that Josh and I have really found our niche and we're starting to find our groove. And I think the show is getting really damn good.
I said we were going to get more serious. Did you guys read the Oklahoma story I sent you about Gary James, owner of a restaurant in Oklahoma City, who refuses to serve, quote, freaks, faggots, and welfare recipients, unquote?
Yeah, unfortunately, we had the displeasure of reading that.
I skimmed it.
He's straight out. He's been in business for years. He's been in business for 44 years he's owned this restaurant. And he's straight out, "I'm uncomfortable around gays." Quoting here, "I think I can spot a freak or a faggot when they walk in." What do you have to say about that as just from a business perspective?
Just a charmer from beginning to end. I don't know. It's one of those cases where, you respect a person's right to do whatever they're doing, even if and especially when it's fucking stupid and ignorant.
It's his private business. He has the right to refuse service if he so chooses. And I can get the whole idea of I can spot a...
You don't even want to say it, do you?
I don't want to use his words. Somebody who's not like himself. I can kind of get how he could, you know, spot somebody coming a mile away. But I find that just so incredibly despicable.
Well, then how about I make things more despicable? I'm going to quote from him again. "I really don't want gays around. Any man that would compromise his own body would compromise anything. Well, if you work, you own a business, pay your taxes, you're more than welcome here. If you're on welfare, stay at home and spend my money there. I don't deal with these people walking down the street with no jobs on welfare."
Now, this is a restaurant, correct?
This is a restaurant.
Okay, what kind of food do they serve there, based on what you can garner from the article?
It looks like it's like a bar and grill. Hamburgers, ironically enough, tacos, but he didn't insult Mexicans at all, so I think Mexican food is okay with him.
Okay,
but,
so we'll just go with the bar. He said he doesn't want to serve anyone, any man who would compromise his own body. The effects of alcohol on the liver and buffalo wings on the asshole, way more of a health compromise than, you know, watching Sex in the City and stuff.
Fair enough, but what actually brought this controversy up is... A man named Matt Gard, who is in a wheelchair, says that Gary James refused him service because he was in a wheelchair, that he doesn't deal with the disabled. Now, that is where we're getting into a sticky situation, because that is illegal. He might not want to serve you. He has to.
Disabilities Act. It's not a matter of opinion.
Right. So that's where my question comes. He hasn't said anything specifically about black people, although his T-shirt does say nigger on it. The T-shirt for the restaurant.
Well, thanks for telling me that, because I was going to wear my T-shirt that said nigger on it, so now I it won't be embarrassing when I go.
Here comes the question. Where does the line get drawn between your right to refuse service to anyone and discrimination? Because you can't legally discriminate. Where is the line here? Where is the line between James saying, "I don't want freaks and faggots in my restaurant," and actually going, "Well, it's illegal to discriminate against you because you're gay"?
I have no idea. There's certainly not in the state of Oklahoma enough laws in place to protect the rights of, let's say, gays, but there's certainly nothing in place, and there probably never will be, to protect somebody who, you know, dresses a little weird. So if somebody could, you know, come in with a mohawk, and if he doesn't like that, he's not going to serve them.
Except, I think that would be legal, but I think refusing service to someone because you suspect they're a homosexual, and keep in mind, it's just suspicion at this point. I think that is straight out illegal because that is discrimination, isn't it?
Yeah, it is discrimination, I think. I mean, that's discrimination on its face. I mean, whether or not he can be held legally accountable is where the gray area is. I mean, in the case of you can't come in here if you're in a wheelchair, that is a matter of legality because, you know, it's all there on paper. The Americans with Disabilities Act literally made exactly that legal. So that he can't do. But I've always wondered where what the parameters are of we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone.
That's exactly my point. This is an interesting case for that reason. But my more broad question is, will that be a good thing? Is it right that we draw a line at what is discrimination and what isn't? Or should that always be, well, discrimination is discrimination. I don't know. When you add that legal line, it's kind of like with obscenity. This is obscenity. This is not. When you add that line, you kind of put the final nail in any kind of debate, don't you?
I don't know. I don't think you ever really put the nail in debate itself. I don't know. I would like to look to do some actual research on that to see what the origin of that sign was, because I don't even know it as an actual law. I just know it as a sign people hang up in their restaurant for when they want to be racist.
I think the definite line in the sand as we have it now just leads us to believe that we have any kind of real coverage for discrimination. And I think maybe a little bit we've stopped talking about it because we think that there's something in place that's protecting people from being discriminated against, but it's not enough, and we're not thinking about it enough. Does that make sense? We have the illusion that there's protection in place, but we really don't. Because of people like this, we know that we're not doing enough.
So do you think that the government of Oklahoma should step in, or the attorney general should say, no, this is discrimination? Or should we just literally let what Fox News always wants to happen, let the free market decide, and let people, now that this story is out, go, I'm not going to eat there, and let him go out of business in 6 months?
Well, unfortunately, he's in the state of Oklahoma, so he's probably not going to go out of business because he's a bigot.
Fair enough.
That's no offense.
If this was in Maine, maybe, but not Oklahoma.
Yeah, no offense to decent Oklahomans out there, but I've been in your state. Yeah, and it's not really any better than the state I live in, because fuck the Midwest.
To me, this is an interesting case to watch, because if the government steps in, you know people are going to go, they're overstepping their bounds. If the government does not step in, people are going to say they're letting people get away with discrimination. This is one of those sticky situations that we just have to watch and see where this goes, I think.
I will warn against letting the free market decide, because the free market kind of decided that sandwiches from Chick-fil-A are good enough to excuse homophobia.
The free market, if you really want to get down to it, also decided that black men are saleable back in the day.
That's true. That was one of the freest of markets.
Ironically enough, free and restrictive at the same time, isn't it? Depending on what color you were.
Yeah. I was actually reading a really great article today that was about 15 disasters caused by the free market. And it was like all these oil spills and all that kind of stuff.
Hitler.
Well, no, it was like
that
recent.
Wouldn't go that far.
Recent ones from like the last, 10 years or so. Oil spills and water contamination and like bank failures BP. And stuff. Yeah, well, BP was definitely among it. And it was all stuff where there wasn't enough regulation in place, and this is what happened.
This one is one to watch. Let's move from that to something everyone knew we were going to talk about. You guys would not believe how many requests I got to talk about this. As soon as it happened, last Sunday, as I said, we were recording on Super Bowl Sunday. None of us are football fans, so we didn't give a fuck. You guys have since seen the multilingual Coca-Cola commercial, right? That was actually really nicely done and kind of inspiring, right?
It was really beautiful.
As far as sugary soda commercials go, yeah.
Oh, quiet you.
It was inspiring.
I'm the cynic here, damn it, not you.
Don't take a shtick.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. Por tus olas de granos tambar. Your peace in the Zakuti. Say, Baba, Namanga, Brutas. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Or by each lake's attached there, child to la mera.
This was essentially America the Beautiful showing about every verse they changed to someone singing it in a different language. And, of course, the right wing, Fox News, Glenn Beck and all them blew a nut. They didn't need to wait for MSNBC to say something.
They blew
this time
a nut. Umbridge.
Yeah. They showed both their racism and their ignorance in this. Because a lot of them showed their ignorance right away by saying, how dare people sing our national anthem in another language? Not realizing, of course, that our national anthem is, the national anthem, a.k.a. the Star-Spangled Banner, not America the Beautiful.
I have so much unrequited frustration. People who say that shit, I just want to scream in their face, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why the fuck do you care? If you like the song, fine. Let someone else like the song, too. It's okay. But I never get a chance to say this to any people who actually believe shit like that because I take great pains to avoid them.
Fair enough.
Keeping them off of your Facebook and other social networking as much as possible.
Well, yeah, that's the smart thing to do.
Not to mention off your side of the bus, am I right? Irony, how's it taste?
As everyone's blowing their nut about this, I need to get in front of something right away. I have ranted before about how I hate having to push one for English when I'm calling, ironically enough, DirecTV, among other things. And so I need to get in front of that, that I've made stupid statements like this before. I still stand by, I think English should be the default language when you're calling a place. You shouldn't have to go through 9 submenus before you actually get to talk to a person. But you guys might think I'm racist for that. Either of you?
Like it, you can get out.
There is no one primary language of the world. That's all I'm going to say.
She's trying to be diplomatic about that. So I'm getting in front of that. But now we've got people like Representative Alan West, who's black. We need to point this out because it's kind of relevant to this. He is black. I'm going to quote him. If we cannot be proud enough as a country to sing America the Beautiful in English in a commercial during the Super Bowl by a company as American as they come, and he actually uses the term doggone, doggone, we are on the road to perdition.
Concern it.
What is with all the grizzled 1850s prospector language we've been getting out of the right wing lately? Have you noticed this is like the third time in 5 weeks I've had to point out that they actually used this ancient phrase?
Once they started panning for gold, they stopped reading new words.
But so here you've got Representative Alan West, who is a military veteran and a black man, bitching about how only English should be what's used for America the Beautiful. Little twinge of irony in that, or am I reading too much into the fact that he's black?
Stupid doesn't have a color. I think you're reading too much into it with him being black. I just think people are fucking dumb. Because you know what? I think I could get a lot of young people, you know, not knowing that America the Beautiful isn't our national anthem because they just are dumb kids and stuff.
Should I also point out that America the Beautiful was written by a lesbian?
Well, sure. Let's go ahead and do that, too.
That these people are like, it's an all-American, pure tune of our values. She lived with another woman in that manner. So take that for what it is. Oh, and also Coca-Cola. The CEO of Coca-Cola is Turkish. That all-American company, right?
That is wonderful.
I'm just pointing out some of the side issues that everyone is ignoring in this. So finish your thought, Kat. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to put out there that the writer of America the Beautiful is a lesbian.
So anyway, this is just this whole incredibly stupid, ignorant, retarded. I'm trying to think of other words here. But anyway, this idea that all Americans, well, I don't want to, because most Americans do speak English, you know, some better than others. But the idea that America only belongs to the English language. Like, the whole idea of the American melting pot is completely fucking lost here, where we were a nation of people who came from all over the place and came together to make this nation. It's just gone. Everything that's written on the Statue of Liberty is completely irrelevant now because we don't want any more colored people speaking their funny languages in our country anymore.
Fuck your huddled masses.
That's exactly it. Everything that's written on the Statue of Liberty should just be thrown out the window because people today...
It no longer applies.
People today cannot accept it. We cannot accept letting other people into our country, you know, letting their culture into ours, letting their language into ours, even though we do it every fucking day when we go eat Mexican food or Chinese food or something like that. We do it every day, but there's like somewhere along the lines, there's a limitation of what we're willing to deal with. And taking something that's familiar and decidedly white American, like America the Beautiful, and putting it into another language, even if it's just being sung by Americans.
Oh, yeah. Every single person in this ad is an American citizen.
Yeah, but as soon as you put like another color on their face and put it in another language that you don't understand, then it's scary and it's unfamiliar and therefore it's bad. And it's just so fucking infuriating that after all this time, after we tout all the freedoms that America stands for, we cannot fucking handle this. It's retarded.
There's one other aspect to this I think is frankly kind of funny and telling. You guys who both watched the commercial, right? Did you notice the same-sex parents in it?
I think I did.
I think I'm the only one who did.
Because apparently the right wing was so offended that these people were singing America the Beautiful in any language other than English. I can't believe no one's bitching about the two dads.
One bigotry at a time. God damn it, I'm not a machine.
I know. I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing that most people did not notice the gay stuff in it.
It's almost inspiring that no one's noticed the two gay dads.
Yeah, I'm saying that as a positive. All of the outcry is about the language thing, not about the two dads taking their daughter to the park in the thing. What does that say?
I just think it shows that
they're... Is that progressive?
No, it's really not. It's just showing that they were so blinded by their ignorant outrage over one thing, they forgot to really pay enough attention. They were only paying attention to the words and the color of the skin. They weren't paying attention to any of the other details.
Do you think that, like, gay and racism and homophobia coalesced into short-circuiting their brains?
Well, I mean, I didn't even notice the two same-sex parents at first, and I'm glad that most people haven't noticed that, just in that aspect, that it is telling that homosexuality is gaining more acceptance, which is fine. But the outrage over the commercial, fucking stupid. I mean, if foreign people bother you because they're foreign, you are racist. And if you lie about it, then you're a racist liar.
But Charlie, I'm going to take something you just said to task. Are they actually foreign if they are Americans? Then are they not Americans the same as you?
They're not foreign. They're not at all. We know they're not foreign. They know they're not foreign because they were born in America. People that are racist don't really give much thought to logic, as I'm sure you've noticed.
Now, there's one other thing about this that we need to talk about. There is a conspiracy theory that has some credibility, if you know anything about marketing, that Coke did this specifically knowing it would piss everybody off because they're still getting traction. An entire, almost 2 weeks later, they're still getting traction over this on all the news sites. The video has been downloaded on YouTube more than any of the other Super Bowl commercials. Do you think that Coke played us?
Yes, 100%. I mean, that's not even new. I mean, people say there's no such thing as bad publicity. That's 100% true.
You know, I honestly don't think it matters if Coke played us. We're going to talk about it. And it's creating a dialogue, and it's not necessarily a dialogue about Coke. And I think that's a good thing. I think the fucking idiots out there are like, I'm never going to drink Coke again because they're fucking retarded, whatever. The dialogue that we're having isn't really about Coke. I honestly don't think it's gonna make people not drink or decide to drink Coke more often. But it is keeping their name in the press. But again, I don't think it really matters.
Since we ended this episode on kind of a downer note, Kat, can you give us an uplifting? Where can we find Kat?
You can definitely, absolutely, in a really awesome way, find me on Twitter at LabyrinthKat and on Facebook at NerdistKat. And you can also find me on thatguywiththeglasses.com under the podcast tab on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power.
It's a good show. Where can we find Charlie Wisdom from On High McMullen?
You can find me dancing at the end of a rope. I'm not sure where that came from.
Are you dancing a bolero?
I was actually going for Bane. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and geekjuicemedia.com.
And you should see his stand-up. He's actually really funny, despite how he acts on the show.
Oh.
You can find me at Geek Juice Media as well, plus 1201beyond.com, and contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Trying to have a good night, guys, and don't be an ignorant racist. I know how hard that might be.
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.